podding.
It's
pod or not pod.
To pod. We have to pod now.
That's true. Now we do have to pod.
Because we have a Patreon.
Oh my God.
Go
Thank you all to our Patreon members. If you want to check us out on Patreon, it's patreon.com/
Natural
Disasters Pod.
Yeah.
And you can subscribe and you're going to get lots of cool, amazing stuff. And it's incredible.
Yeah. And I'm Marissa.
And I'm Adam.
And this is Natural Disasters.
What?
Today we are going to be talking about Piquette. But before we get to that, we are drinking not Piquette, but something that is very close.
Piquette adjacent?
Yep. As you were saying earlier, it's in the same philosophical kind of zone.
Yeah, I think that it shares. I think they study on the same in the same college.
They're in the same solar system.
Yeah,
for sure. So today we are drinking the Juju Verju from Martha Stueman or Stueman.
I've heard both.
Yeah, we both, Adam and I both say Stueman, but I'm pretty sure it's Stueman. So, Martha, we love you and we're sorry.
Yeah, we'll ask this weekend.
Yeah, when we see you this weekend, we'll ask you. But the Juju Verju is a collaboration between Martha and Julia Sherman, who is the creator of Salad for President, which is an awesome book as well as like a website with food and art and all sorts of great stuff. The Juju that we're drinking is 3.8% alcohol, which is very low. And that's very typical of what Verju does. Like, that's the whole fucking point.
Well, let's talk about first let's talk about Verju is the when you do something called a green harvest, which is you clip the green grapes early on to get more concentration, and then you make a juice out of that. That's Verju, green juice.
Yeah, green juice. That's what it means in French. But yeah. What I was going to say is it's usually made by more sustainable things than you just talked about, that they actually use, because when you're harvesting, or before harvest, you have to thin out your vines throughout the year. So they use the grapes that are cut when the vines are being thinned out, and also grapes that have fallen. So it's a way to use fruit that otherwise wouldn't be used.
Just let it lie in the vineyard. Sometimes they feed it to animals.
Yeah. And the one that we're drinking is made of organic dry farmed California Petite Syrah and Muscat. And the way that it works is like basically they take these green grapes and they don't actually, like, they barely ferment it, like just enough to get 3.8%.
I can't imagine there's much sugar in there, so that's what the fermentation is, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming so. It's sparkling and fuck, is it delicious?
It's really good. High tone. It tastes like electric and alive. And
when you so it's like a really really pale, pretty,
very effervescent.
Verju. It smells like a floral candy store.
Yeah, it must be the Muscat.
Yeah, definitely the Muscat. But it smells like a floral candy store. If Jolly Ranchers grew out of peonies.
Yeah, yeah. If Jolly Ranchers grew out of penises.
That's
not what it smells
no,
like.
No, yeah, I'm like, if Jolly Ranchers came out of penises, I don't think anyone would enjoy them very much.
I know what you're saying.
Okay, fine.
If Jolly Rancher made floral candies, if they were like, here's our...
That's not what I was saying at all.
Jasmine.
I was saying, I wanted it to be like, hey, if peonies, or let's use a rose, so that way you can't make any more dumb jokes.
Yeah.
It's like if a rose had Jolly Rancher petals.
Yeah, okay, totally.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I meant. And okay. It just tastes so fucking good.
Yeah, it's
dude.
Very refreshing. I'm assuming this is exactly what they wanted to make, and kudos, because it's spot on.
It's spot on. It's like
eating a green grape.
With this like lingering wonderful finish that reminds me of like a green Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
It sticks with you. It has a big like burst of acid at the front, and then this huge pop of like flavor in the mid palate.
Yeah, it's really good.
Congratulations,
man.
This is fucking incredible. Yeah. I need to pour Adam some more. He already
I crushed it. I mean, it's low alcohol. I can do that.
We can do that.
But so, what we're talking about?
Yeah, I was gonna say today we're gonna be talking about another low ABV beverage called Piquette.
That seems to be the talk of the town.
And I don't really know.
The cock of the walk. The walk of the cock.
We are really interrupting each other on this episode.
They're paying us now, so.
No. Anyways, just everyone know that I'm still doing my best here. Here's something cool, though. I don't really... I've drank quite a few Piquettes at this point. They've been... a lot of people have been having them at the fairs this year. And I had South... I basically lived off Southhold Cellars... or Southhold Farm and Cellars Piquette when I was in Texas.
Yeah.
It was fucking phenomenal. But I don't really know how I don't really know much about it. So Adam is not going to just give you guys a lesson today, but yeah. also give me one. So Adam.
Let's talk Piquette.
Yeah. So Adam, first of all, what is Piquette?
So Piquette is a French word, and but it's not, its origins, excuse me, or its origins, this is very it's effervescent.
Yeah. The Rick and Morty days might be back.
Its origins are not France. Actually, I think it goes back to Roman times. And it is a product of... So when you make wine, you press grapes, and what's left over is called pumice. And just
is that the same as must, though? Like the must?
No, must is the juice.
Okay, okay. Pumice wait, I guess I'm talking about like the cap, then. I mean...
The cap, yes. The cap is the pumice before it's been pressed.
Okay, cool. And for those of you guys that, so, when you're making wine, the must is the juice. And then on top, is the cap, which is like where all the skins and seeds and whatever else is, you know, is up there.
Yeah.
Hangs out. And the cap, is that, and then that becomes pumice.
Right. Okay. And so you, when you press, you know, you press hard, but you're not pressing everything. You're not draining the grapes of every last nutrient piece of sugar thing. So what you can do, and what people do, is you would soak those that pumice in water, much like a tea, and then you would press it again. And so you're doing a second pressing, and you would ferment that second pressing, and that is the Piquette. So it is a lower ABV sort of wine tea, if you will, or
in the ABV on it, it's more like around like 5%.
You're lower, I think.
Yeah, I think it's like
which does make it a little volatile, which does make it a little difficult, because when you're dealing with alcohol that's that low, you're really inviting bacterial growth. So Piquette isn't necessarily like an easy thing to make, and I think that in France, Piquette has turned into sort of slang for shitty wine. And so you'll hear French people say that when they call like a shitty, cheap wine Piquette, they're not talking about the product we just made. They're talking about cheap wine. And so I think it's sort of, yeah. And originally it was used for the laborers or the workers, or I hate to say it, the slaves back in the day. Yeah. And it was a product, because you have to remember, water wasn't always the safest thing to drink, and you can't give your day laborers and your workers and these people your best wine, because the alcohol, it works as a sanitizer.
Yeah.
So you're giving them Piquette or beer or these things, and that was a way to, so it has its roots very much in like sort of the labor, the proletariat, the poor. It's very much cemented in that history, in its roots.
And thank God a bunch of white people are now super into
well,
it.
I think that,
well,
I think that
a bunch of middle class white people are like, yeah, Piquette's,
I mean,
new.
It's kind of like anything that gets appropriated. It definitely probably it's like all these bros wearing Carhartt. Like, I know that's the most benign example of appropriation, but like, just anything where it's like it comes from a working class place,
yeah,
and then gets brought up.
Yeah.
Totally. And then becomes, you know, Kanye's latest thing. But which is, I'm not saying Kanye's drinking Piquette. But anyway,
I would laugh so hard.
anyway, so yeah, I think that it's and so it's, yeah, I think we're going to get into to other aspects.
Yeah.
Of it.
So, and like you said, I think an important question to ask is like, you're talking about how you add water to it. Now, in a lot of the wine community,
yeah,
most of it, adding water is like not
a sin.
Is a sin. Yeah, you don't do it. So, Piquette, what's the difference, I guess, between adding?
I would say, so for my own definition, this is for my own sort of how I approach it, and I don't know if everyone's going to agree with this or not. I see Piquette as not wine. So
yeah.
I wouldn't call wine and Piquette the same thing. I would say that's Piquette, that's wine, and I would almost keep them as different as, let's say, beer.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say like oh, are you, or did you add water to your beer? Oh, that's not natural. Because that's insane. You have to add water to beer.
Yeah.
I think you have to add water, obviously, to Piquette. So, like, why would you call Piquette wine when it quite obviously isn't?
Well, it's obviously, I mean, it's its own thing. It's Piquette.
Right. I think there's a small fear in the natural wine community of people not being as open and honest about what Piquette is, and maybe some consumers getting confused and not realizing.
Well, of course consumers are going to be confused, but hopefully not ours that are consuming this podcast.
Yeah, and maybe not realizing that what they're drinking is water wine or wine soda or whatever, you know? And like, so like, I think that there just needs to be transparency in that. And I would definitely advocate for anybody who makes a Piquette, if you can, if you have the space or the ability on your labels, to absolutely explain what it is and what you're doing, so that there is a transparency to be like, this is not wine. This is Piquette. Yeah. We are adding water.
Also, but also, like, that's kind of like our job, or at least my job in the media,
yeah,
like,
as a journalist, to
explain these things to people, which is why we're doing it. Yeah, because adding water to wine is like, like you said, it's a sin, and it's also like a big part of like the rumors of like when people are like, oh, that they're not really natural. Like, there's a lot
of the reason why. So here's the history of adding water to wine is also
Jesus.
No, it's purely economical, right? You have 5 hectares of grapes, and you want to make as much money as possible, so you get your grapes as ripe as fucking possible, but now they're so ripe that it's almost impossible to make a dry wine. So you water back for dilution so that you have your sugar ratios are broader. So instead of it being, you know, 28 bricks, it's
in bricks 22, is how they measure sugar.
It's 22 bricks with dilution. And so now you just took something where you were going to make from that 5 hectares, you were going to make, I don't know, 1,000 cases.
For those of you that don't know, hectares are like basically the
acres. It's European acres.
Yeah, it's like an acre and some change.
Two acres.
Oh yeah, it's bigger than an acre.
But let's say you take the 5 hectares and you're going to make 1,000 cases of wine from that. Well, if I add water, now all of a sudden I have 1,500 cases, and that's just purely economic.
In general, additives, preservatives, and all the things that like are in like that have happened in modern winemaking. I know that Verjus is so fucking good. Sorry that we're not selling you guys on a Piquette, but holy shit, this Verjus.
Verjus is different.
Than this? Than what we're drinking?
Yes, Verjus is unfermented.
Okay, so the juju.
Yeah, verjus is just means green juice.
Okay, well, it's just a little confused. Fine, it doesn't matter. It's really fucking good.
It's really good though.
But what I was gonna say is that, you know, like all things like that are usually because of economic purposes, like adding water or, you know, like
stabilizing your wine.
Yeah, exactly. Which is like kind of the difference between natural wine and you guys know this. If
you're on episode whatever we are, like 36, 37.
Well, they could just be tuning in. It doesn't matter. So with that, though, like, so Piquette is becoming a thing that a lot of people, a lot of winemakers are making. You know, I know that, you know, Southold Farm and Cellar has made one. I know that Field Recordings just came out with one.
Well, this all comes from... I think you can actually.
But who else
that's where I'm going to start. Okay. You can pinpoint the resurgence of it in the United States from Wild Ark Farms in New York.
Yes.
From Todd Cavallo.
Yes.
I think I'm saying his last name right, but
we're just going to have to apologize to everyone at the end of this.
But Todd is, I think, if in 20 years Piquette is like the number one selling product in the world, which is obviously not going to happen, but
don't
hypothetically,
be such a pessimist.
I think you would be able to look back and be like, oh, it started here.
Yeah.
I've talked to Todd about it and like why he started doing it. And literally, it's about economics. It's you're a small farmer. You need, you know, you have X amount of product, and you need. I mean, I shouldn't say purely. Sorry, Todd. That makes you sound way more capitalist than you actually are.
No one in our industry can really be a true capitalist.
No, yeah, absolutely. It's also, I think, it's a great product, and it's fun, and it's delicious,
yes,
and it's exciting. But yeah, it's also an opportunity for him to be like, okay, I have 2 tons of grapes that I can now make more product out of, and I can then pay my mortgage.
Yeah, and also, too, it's really great because it's less waste.
Oh, totally.
You know, like, and it, and that's how, like, you know, earlier when we were talking about the Juju, we were saying that we feel like it's sort of in the same solar system as Piquette, because it's really, it is taking something that would otherwise be waste. And, like, granted, you know, organic waste, like, pumice,
yeah,
can, you know, isn't the same as, like, plastic waste.
No, it's usually used as animal feed or something.
Yeah, but still, it's like this is giving, you know, farmers it's diversifying their portfolio.
Yeah, totally. And to use the most capitalistic sounding thing,
yeah.
It's also, I think that, you know, it's maybe in California we need to talk a little bit about it. Because, you know, we're wondering, I think there might be people here who be like, well, how much water and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
If you knew how much water a winery used to begin with, I think that you would excuse this, you'd shit your pants.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Wineries use an ungodly amount of water. And I'm not just talking about...
I'm
not talking about farming at all. What?
Yeah, no, not just farming and not just California. It's like
Well, if you're in New York... you have probably an abundance of water, whereas in California, you might not. Or especially if you have a well or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway.
Unfortunately,
We can talk about water use another time.
Yeah, I'm like, all the water in California is going to be privatized within, like, it's going to be all owned by the Palm Wonderful Company.
Exciting.
Yeah, there's a documentary about it on...
But yeah, so I think that, like, there's been this question about, I think what you were trying to get to when we deviated, which is, like, is it natural?
Oh, I personally think it's natural. I was asking that purely for, like, our listeners that may hear that, like, there's water added and whatever, but, like, you know, for me, as long as they're not adding, I mean, this is different than wine, first of all.
Yeah.
Second, as we discussed, and two, you know, unless they're adding other shit to it, like,
yeah, what's more natural than water?
Yeah, exactly. And I have to say, like, so I also think that one of the reasons that Piquette is coming back into style or coming into style is it's sort of a counterbalance to the fact that a lot of wines are becoming higher ABV.
Yeah. Thank you, global warming.
Yeah. And it's actually really great. Like, when I was in Texas for a festival, like I said, I didn't really taste any... I didn't have a chance to taste a lot of wines because I was speaking. But I, like, lived off the Piquette.
Yeah.
And it was, like, the Southold Farm and Cellar one. Because it was just like... I think it was, like, 5% alcohol. It was delicious. It was beautiful. I could be drinking it and, like, have fun. But it didn't make me sloppy. You know? Like, I was... You know, I was there to speak and, like, you know, be with consumers. And so it was wonderful. It was like the perfect thing. And it was so fucking hot and humid. And I was like, this is all I want. Like, is to drink this Piquette all fucking day long. And then that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. Oh, and one more thing that I didn't mention is to make it sparkling, you do have to add an outsized sugar source. So you do have to do that.
Ah, so that's an interesting.
I know Todd from Wild Arc uses honey, and I know a lot of other people use honey.
I was going to say, because, like, for example, also, from the East Coast, why am I forgetting their name right now? They're one of our Fable.
Yeah.
One of our favorite cider producers. They use, like, their own organic honey.
Yeah. That seems to be a common thing that I'm hearing.
Which I'm okay with. Honey. I'm also okay with if they use a pied de cuve, not pied de cuve, but, like, a frozen must.
Oh, so if they kept some of their unfermented juice and used that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and basically that's something that some people do to make natural wine or natural sparkling wines without it being technically a pétillant naturel, is that they freeze some of that year's juice and then, like, add it. And I actually, like, was furious when I found out that was something that people did, because I was like, that's not...
Yeah.
But Michael Cruz was like, that's actually really hard to do, and you should be nice.
Impressed?
Yeah, you should be impressed that they did that.
I think it all comes down to transparency. Just don't call yourself certain things.
Yeah,
and be honest about what you're doing. Well, I don't think it matters if you're... I shouldn't say it doesn't matter, but, like, if you're doing stuff, just be honest and be like, look, it's just frozen must. You know, it's not...
Well, this goes into, like, a larger, like, conversation, really, in that that I think needs to probably be its own episode, but, you know...
No, we got time.
Yeah, we got time, so why not? Why the fuck not bring
Piquette's
it up
now? Piquette's a low ABV wine and a low...
No, it's a... Piquette's just a low ABV thing.
Yeah.
It's its own thing.
Oh, sorry. It's a Piquette's low ABV in this episode's low MINs.
Yeah, what I was going to say, though, is that the day that there just is transparency in wine, like, we won't, it won't, I think that it will, it would change things so much that it wouldn't be, like, conventional versus, like, it would, I still don't even necessarily think it's conventional versus natural all the time, because there's a lot of conventional wines that are made.
I have a word.
Low intervention?
No. I'm going to let you finish, but I just...
But the day that we have transparency in how the wines are made, like, and if wines were... I mean, because in some parts of the world, it's illegal to even put the ingredients of a wine, like, on the label. Like the AOC and shit, like, freaks the fuck out.
Yeah, no, nobody wants transparency.
Yeah, like, no one wants transparency. But the day that, like...
The day it says corn syrup on your fucking wine.
You won't be... Yeah, and then it's, like, also, too, then there won't be these lines drawn... at all, because it's like the consumer can see right away what they're consuming. And it's like, okay, because there's some people that have a problem with like, there's plenty of conventional wines that really don't add or like do that much.
Yeah,
but maybe they're filtering, and then people are like, well, that's conventional. It's like, yeah, but like Frank Cornelius also filters,
right?
And no one really, you know, talks.
Well, some people
about
do, but some people don't.
Do. But I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's all
no,
these.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own definition of like what is natural to them, and like there wouldn't be. I mean, there wouldn't have to be such a line if there was transparency and you were able to just choose like what you thought was best.
Well, so the word I actually read this recently, and I think I put it on my Instagram this morning. I don't think I did. Which was artificial.
Yeah.
Artificial wine.
Yeah.
Instead of calling it conventional wine, we should call it artificial wine.
Yeah, and that's...
Because it has a connotation to it that I think people can understand.
I like that.
Why? It's artificial. It's not
because
real.
Also, because there's a lot of conventional wines that are still really great. Like,
right.
Like, Kathy Corison...
Correct.
...from California is one of the most badass fucking winemakers in the country.
Yeah, if you don't support Kathy... Fuck you.
Yeah, like Kathy Corison is a fucking incredible, yeah, badass winemaker. Agreed. She's been doing it for a really long time. She's making some of the best California Cabernets forever.
Yeah.
And she would be...
An icon.
Yeah, and like, that's not artificial wine. It's real fucking wine.
Exactly.
Like, that is real fucking wine, and it's, you know...
But I drink it? Probably not. But...
And, well, at least not normally. I mean, like, I have two bottles of hers in my fridge.
Yeah, the Kronos is a great bottle of wine.
The Cabernet Franc?
No, I think it's her high end.
But I have one of her Cabernet Sauvignons in my
little
cellar, and like, I think the same goes for like, I think some people were surprised I recently wrote about like Ashes and Diamonds.
Oh yeah.
But you know, they're totally organic farming. All of their wines are under 50 ppm of sulfur. And they only have two wines that they pitch yeast, meaning that they add yeast to. And it's like, okay, well, if a consumer could look at the back of the bottle and be like, oh, these two pitch or these two have added yeast and these ones don't, and like they're made within, you know, the same farming and stuff, then there wouldn't be, again, they wouldn't be artificial wines. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I like the word artificial wines.
I really like that.
We should really.
I think that's what we should do.
Yeah. You guys heard it here first.
Because also, too, as natural wine becomes more popular, bigger companies are going to start producing it, whether we like it or not. Yep. I mean, we did the Shaw Organics.
Yeah.
And so commercial and conventional often get put together.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been accused of that. Excuse me, hold on. This is super bubbly.
Yeah, I know. I just burped in the microphone.
Oh, sorry, guys. We know how much you guys don't like that. So it would, I think, I really like, I kind of lost my train of thought, but I really like that because I remember now. As commercial wines decide to take on these, you know, better farming practices and stuff, that should be like, even if it kind of sucks and people are like, boo, like trend hopping, boo. It's like, no, that needs to be supported. So I think that the word artificial, it even allows like commercial wines to have good practices.
Also, yeah, 100%.
And it doesn't demonize people that are drinking wines from like grocery stores thinking that like that's all bad.
Well, also though, what it does also do is when you're having a conversation with somebody and you say artificial wine, and if they don't know what you're talking about, they're going to go,
well, no one's going to know what anyone's talking about because I haven't heard anyone else say it besides you.
What I'm saying is that they'll go, artificial wine? What do you mean artificial wine? Like, I think if I say, when I introduce myself a lot to people and they find out I make wine, And then I have to sort of like say I'm a natural winemaker, and then people go like, well, what's natural wine? And then I have to kind of explain what conventional wine is to explain what natural wine is. And then I say conventional wine, and I don't think, and like I see like everyone, all of our listeners right now, a glaze over their eyes. And
no,
like,
I think this is like our listeners are here for this.
But
I hope so.
What I'm saying is, if you, which I'm going to start doing, if I go, oh, I make natural wine, they go, what's natural wine? I was like, well, it's not artificial wine. And they go, artificial wine? They're going to be like, what the fuck is artificial wine? And I'm like, well, in the same way that a Snicker bar is artificial or McDonald's is artificial, or there's artificial flavoring or artificial stuff, this is wine that's made in exactly that same manner.
And then it's like artificial wine, and then everything else is just wine. Correct. And we can just go back to calling everything else wine, which would be so helpful. And I said, like, it wouldn't demonize...
No, people who are trying to get better practices.
Exactly. And also, too, when we were talking with Ashton, you know, like not demonizing where people start.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that people, I know that people think this because I do read Reddit.
We all know where you started.
I started, you know, like drinking $2 Chuck and like.
Out of the bottle. Ugh.
I know. Just such a fucking horrid person.
I thought you were going to say whore. And I was like, that's a bit much.
No, not yet. maybe in 2020, if my personal economy keeps going the way it is, don't let that article video fool you that made my house look. Ben was like, I'm sure that everyone just thinks you're like super rich. And I'm like, they don't know I've had the worst financial year of my life.
Yeah.
But anyways, and this isn't therapy.
That'll be on our Patreon episode, we're going to talk about Marissa's worst financial war ever. Speaking of which, we have a Patreon now.
We already did that.
Patreon.com/
Oh my God, people are going to hate us. anyways, I really like the idea of, I think that artificial wine is good, Adam. I think that's
it wasn't my idea. I mean, I read it in something.
Oh.
No, I read it from something from 1883.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like I'm allowed to say that I read it and I was like, artificial wine. That's the word. That's what I've been looking for.
Yeah, but
that's the way I've been waiting to describe non-natural wine.
But I also think it's good that you gave credit where credit was due.
Which was?
To the person that wrote that shit in 1883.
Oh, E.H. Erdax or something. How come people back then always had the weirdest names?
I don't know, man. People are going to look back and be like, why is every kid named Hadley? Like, I hope my cousin doesn't, that was not also cousin Allison. Like, this is nothing against you naming your kid Hadley. She's a gorgeous, smart kid. I just meant that, like, I know, like, 19 Hadleys.
I was, someone was asking us about, or we were talking about, like, oh, every kid name now has a Y in it. And I was like, stupid. And then I was like, wait a minute. Sigh. My son's name has a Y in it.
Yeah.
I was like, damn it.
Man, we really, this is like Piquette and just like a...
That's great. I think this is a great episode. It's a classic.
It's a classic.
But let's circle back to Piquette just for a second, and then let's end
the
pod.
Okay.
I just wanted to come back and be like, okay, so we've talked about what it is. We've talked about it's coming. It's on its way. It's going to grow more. You're going to see more of it. It's going to be something that you're going to encounter. You're probably going to go into wine shops and see Piquette sections possibly or whatever. I support it. I fully support it, and I support it for multiple reasons, and those are economic and environmental sustainability.
Yeah, and we always, I mean, I know I always say it, and I know we talk about it a lot on this podcast, but what's environmentally sustainable must be financially sustainable. Like, the only way that this works is that we are able to, you know, create an income off of, you know, you can be as socialist as you want, but at the end of the day, we live in a capitalist society and you need to make money in order to pay rent and live your life and make the fucking wine or Piquette. And so I think that Piquette is great. I also, like I said, I think it's a wonderful option to have for, like, I can't wait to have it this summer. Next summer. And like, I can't wait to have, it's something that, expands the wine world versus limits it.
Yeah.
Which I think is really important. And it shows like the diversity of, or, you know, like how much can be done with grapes, which is incredible. You know, like this is like,
I can't wait to see it in fucking kegs.
Yeah.
And going to fucking restaurants and getting a fucking tall glass of Piquette and hopefully not being charged a ridiculous amount of money for it. Cause I know what it is.
I also see it being like the perfect thing for like when you're already drunk and then you decide to like play a game after dinner or something.
I don't know what you're talking about, but
You play games at my house. We play like Drawful and stuff.
Oh, okay. You're talking about like an actual board game or something.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like when I have people over for dinner, like we generally like, you know, we hang out.
They host.
Yeah. And then afterwards.
They're hosting.
Yeah. We host.
They have like, they're like, oh, it's pass hors d'oeuvres. Not really. But then, you know, it's, oh, it's like.
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
It's like nibbles. And then it's this. And then everyone sits down and then we all eat. And then there's like, okay, now we have like a activity.
Yeah. And then, well, and then we go and we play these drunk games. And I think this is kind of perfect for like when you're already fucking like maybe like.
Like, a little too far gone.
Yeah, but you got to maintain in order.
You know what I want with this? I want to watch a Marvel movie and eat salty popcorn.
The juju?
Yeah.
I want that too. I want a
handful of popcorn. It's raining right now. I want to watch like a Marvel movie, drink this, and eat a handful of popcorn.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if that would be the same for... I would feel the same thing about Piquette, but...
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's it. We did a solid half.
Yeah, sorry this was a little rush. We're heading out to the Palm Springs Wine Festival.
No, don't apologize. This is great.
I'm a woman. I can't help it.
Stop it. This was great.
It was great.
We did a good job. High five.
You know who did a better job? Martha and Julia. Yeah. Great job on the juju.
This is delicious, and I would pick it up if you see it. And also, try a Piquette. When you start seeing them come out, buy them.
Dude, they're going to be everywhere soon. Definitely try them. The ones I've had are great, and the people that are making them, I'm really excited about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, this is just another way to support these fantastic smaller producers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, cool. We'll see you guys soon. Bye. Or I guess I see you never, but I love you.